God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text is actually from our first reading from Acts chapter 5, especially that first verse. When Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men." So as we talk about what does it mean to obey God, and I don't know about you, but when I hear that word obey being sort of a male, some interesting thoughts come into my mind. I start thinking, you know, just sort of laying back there on the couch. And since, you know, wives are supposed to obey their husbands, you know, my wife then catering to the various whims of my desire. And not to be undone, because children are also supposed to obey their parents. And so I just sort of picture myself just sort of leaning back, resting, relaxing, and having my two daughters and my adorable wife just go and take care of me. Now, before you start thinking I got into the communion wine before this message, let me just say that I was a little disappointed, or my illusion sort of broke, when I went back to the Greek and I found out that this isn't that kind of obey. Okay. This is a different type of obey. And maybe obey isn't the best way of describing this. Maybe a better way of describing this is we must follow God rather than man. Or maybe we need to be influenced by God rather than man. So if you have the imagery here in the back of your mind about obeying God, where we have to do every single whim of God in order to be a good Christian, again, like my beginning illustration, let's just sort of break that for a moment. Let's understand it as influenced, how as Christians we are influenced by God rather than being influenced by, say, the world around us. Okay, now that sounds a little bit more bearable, because, you know, sometimes that word obey sometimes has a negative connotation to it. So as we take a look at our text for today, we have to sort of ask ourselves, what does it mean to be influenced by God rather than by the world around us? Now, this message is also going to be used for our junior high confirmands tomorrow. And, of course, we know that junior hires are sort of at that very precarious stage in their life. They're beginning to become a little bit more independent, but yet they're not there yet. They need to start exercising some control of their lives, but yet that responsibility isn't 100%. And so what is confirmation? Maybe confirmation shouldn't be at junior high and should be later, but that's a different discussion. Confirmation is not a graduation, but one word, responsibility. You are taking on the responsibility and saying, I'm going to see to it myself that I will follow God. I will see to it myself that I'd rather be influenced by God rather than man. There's a beautiful connection here with junior high confirmation. And confirmation, of course, is the renewal of those vows made at baptism. But now the junior higher is saying, now I'm going to take this responsibility. And so my challenge to them, and also a challenge to us today, is how do we take that responsibility? Would our ears rather listen to the things of God, or rather listen to the things of this world? Too often, our sinful nature would rather incline our ears to listen to the things of this world. We start coming up with phrases, well, everyone else is doing it. Well, just because everyone else is doing it, does that mean you have to do it? Well, we want to fit in. We want to sort of get along. We want to blend in to the community. I notice myself doing this when I'm on the highway. If everyone else is doing 75 miles per hour in a 55 mile per hour zone, I find my speedometer is more toward the 75 than it is for the 55. Again, I want to sort of flow with the traffic, so to speak. And there's nothing too wrong with that. Remember, this was to be influenced by. You're listening. You're following God. But yet, at the same time, our world can also be very, very nice. We live in a world where, yes, there are some good things in this world. And I can show you people who are not Christians who do a lot of good things for society. they are very good contributors to our community. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I can also show you people in our world where they're also a little bit selfish. And because of that selfish, they'd rather be concerned more for themselves. And that doesn't build community. That fractures the community. And as our world focuses more upon itself, we will find more and more challenges because we need to live in a community. We live in a world where it seems like life is being devalued. And God would say, wait a minute, life is precious. From the moment of conception to the moment when God determines the end of our physical life, life is important. However, we live in a world where sometimes life can be a little inconvenienced. Whether it's parents who are sitting there saying, these kids are a little bit too much responsibility for me, I'll let someone else deal with it. Or for older people who are thinking, my life isn't any use anymore, why am I around? Or to little ones, maybe it's a mom who's still pregnant thinking, do I really want to go through this pregnancy? Our world doesn't value life very well. We have nations entering into conflict with each other at the expense of, yes, many resources, and the most important resource, that of human life. Our world, again, does things very selfishly. I see a major battle. This may not happen too much in your life, but in my life, as I see in the computer world, we see software manufacturers trying to hang on to their products instead of seeing it copied all over the place. This is especially true with music and in videos. How much legal software do we have on our computers and how much illegal software do we have? The world sort of chalks it up to the concept, well, Bill Gates and Microsoft make enough money as it is. They're not going to miss my dollars, are they? Again, God would sort of see it a different point of view and saying, wait a minute, how much of this is stealing for your own selfish reasons? Yes, we live in a world where, yes, there is some good, but then there's also some not so good. So what are you influenced by the most? The things of this world or the things of God? Listening to God. Well, that may sound easy enough. God makes it very easy. He'll give it to you in a one word. That one word is love. He'll break it down into sort of two commands. In case if you can't memorize the Ten Commandments, just two general commands. Love God above all things and to love your neighbor as yourself. Sounds simple enough. But notice if we are filled with a selfish thinking, attached to the things of this world instead of listening to the things of God, this can be very challenging. To remember God in first fruits giving whenever we are establishing our personal budgets. To remember God as the place where we need to gather to hear His word, to receive His sacrament. To remember God and to be influenced by His love in sharing that love and that forgiveness to those around us. We might start saying, well, what's in it for me? That's the world talking. Listening to God and being influenced by God means we are to bear fruit. And we'll talk a little bit later about the fruits of the Spirit, probably sometime this summer with a special sermon series. But for right now, let's talk about that fruit being how we can show that love of God to our neighbors. How can we show that peace? How can we show that joy? How can we do good works to help build a community here and now? And not just a physical community, but also our spiritual community. Both go in hand in hand. The good works that God would want us to do to produce fruit, so to speak, of that Spirit, is more than just doing things for the church, but doing things for the world. Again, if you're getting an idea here that our sinful human nature would rather do things for ourselves, where God is calling us to do things for other people, you are on the right track. Christians do good works to benefit society, and also because good works are necessary fruits that flow from the faith. It is that faith that we are concerned about, that faith that listens to God, that faith that trusts in God for salvation, trusts in God for guidance, trusts in God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our strength. Now, I will admit, as a Christian, we're sort of in between here. The spirit side of us wants to listen to the things of God. Our human sinful nature would rather listen to the things of this world. So what are we to do as Christians? We are to return where God's word is being proclaimed, because the side that is being fed more is the side that grows more. We see this in kids. I keep joking that my kids are getting bigger and taller and they're growing, and I keep saying that's because we keep feeding them. And I always wonder, if we stop feeding them, will they stay small and innocent and young? The answer is no. It's just, again, my imagination here. So I guess I have to keep feeding them. They keep growing. They keep getting older. They become more independent. And it's a little bit more frustrating for mom and dad, but we will survive. Keep me in your prayers. But getting back to our own human life here, our sinful nature would rather do the things of God, the things of this world. Our spirit within us would rather do the things of God. There is that tension. How do we solve that tension? Again, what is being fed? The more we surround ourselves with God's word, the more we surround ourselves with other people who are also loving, caring, and forgiving, the more we surround ourselves with God's sacraments, where God again is strengthening us, the more we will be attached to the things of God. However, the more we push away from God's word and his sacraments, the more we push away from the community of believers, obviously, we're not going to be fed those things. That part of us is going to be, quote unquote, starving. And the worldly side of us will be fed. That puts us in a very precarious place. Almost to the point where, could possibly be, our faith and trust in God would vanish. Unfortunately, this is true. The Peter and the apostles, when they are saying these words, we must obey God rather than men, were under the threat of persecution. They were being threatened because they were proclaiming Christ. They were being threatened because they'd rather be attached to God instead of man. And in the midst of that being threatened, in the midst of them being punished for it, they rejoiced. Now, that may sound a little sadistic, but they understood how important their salvation was. They understood that this Christianity was not just something you just did one day a week. This was something to save them, something to for them to live by each and every day of their lives. Listening to God, yes, is sort of a change within us. If I use the example of us bearing fruit, we are that fruit tree. Is there a difference between a fruit tree and a regular tree? Well, yes. If you go outside and you see, you know, trees that are not fruit trees, they both have green leaves. They both have bark. They all both contribute to this society. But only one bears that precious fruit. One doesn't. God, through His Holy Spirit, changes us to bear that fruit. And that's where our gospel reading for today, gospel, I should say, comes into our text. We must obey God rather than men. We'd rather listen to the influences of God because the Holy Spirit has made that change within us. That change within us takes place through baptism and through whenever that God's gospel is preached and proclaimed and it comes upon our ears and through the Holy Spirit makes that change within us. And because of that change, we bear fruit. Good works are the necessary fruit that flows from faith. If you are a Christian, there are good works. The gospel part of that is we can listen to God. We can become attached to God. We can be followers of God. We can be influenced by God, all because of what the Holy Spirit has done in our lives, how the Holy Spirit has changed us. We are no longer regular trees, but now fruit-bearing trees. Trees that bear fruit. And by the way, the fruit that the tree produces, does that benefit the tree? Now think about this for a moment. Who benefits from the fruit of the tree? If it's an apple tree, who benefits from the apple? Well, I can go to the store and buy the apple. I do. Not the tree. So as Christians, as we are bearing fruit, who benefits? The people around us. It sounds kind of strange, but that's what it means to be connected to Christ. We understand that transformation and we embrace that transformation. We say, this is the way it is. This is what we want. Because God blesses us and He says, your sins are forgiven. There are times in our lives where we're not very good at bearing fruit, sort of like a low yield season. God forgives us and strengthens us again with His Word. And there are times after we've been connected to God's Word, we bear lots of fruit, showing God's love and forgiveness to those around us. And that love and forgiveness bears fruit in other people. Yes, God wants all people to be saved, and He uses people like you and me for that to take place. So this day we do give our great praise and thanks to God, that He encourages us with His Word. He strengthens us with His sacraments. He gives us a fellow believing community, again, to nourish us and to strengthen us so that we will bear fruit. For others in this community, yes. And for others in the community outside of us. Fruit bearing is very important and will take place as we are attached to God, as we follow God, as we are influenced by God rather than men. So this day we thank God for making that transformation within us, and we ask God to help us to be effective fruit trees, to yield that fruit, to help us to listen to His Word so that we can be more effective. And as I saw today on my way to church, another church that had a very interesting sign. It basically said to God through the Holy Spirit, help us to become stepping stones instead of stumbling blocks. That is what the Spirit does. As the Spirit is reminding us, we'd rather listen, obey, be influenced by God. We are becoming more of those stepping stones instead of the stumbling blocks that are trying to push away from God's love and His grace. So we ask the Lord to continue to fill our hearts. Please keep in your mind our five prayers, our five confirmands, as they will say, this is now my faith. We ask the Lord to continue to bless them and send their Holy Spirit upon them so that again that they may hang on to Peter's words here. We must obey or be influenced by God rather than men. Their times of trials will continue as it will be for each and every one of us every day of our lives. We need that strength that God provides. And we ask the Lord to continue to bless them, as He has so graciously blessed each and every one of us. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.